Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Man, do we got a lot of work ahead of us when it comes to restoring the republic, folks. And every single day, it seems to get more urgent, more dire, more critical. Whatever words you want to use. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear. All is not lost. Let's be very clear. God, family, and country are the key to success. Let's be very clear. Without God, we will not succeed. Let's be very clear. If we turn to Him, we absolutely will prevail. And religious or not, ladies and gentlemen, you must be acquainted with the author of liberty. Look, it's either government or a higher source that has the absolute sovereignty, power, authority, whatever words you want to use. All right? It's that simple of a reality check. It's either government or a higher authority. Now, I don't care how religious or not you are. What do you call that authority? God, Almighty, Deity, Author, Creator of the universe. I don't know, the Founding Fathers had several names, several terms, but they knew this. Government, man, lording over man was not the answer. And they sought hard to understand greater solutions and greater understanding. And when they appealed to God Almighty and were serious about it, you look at the difference between the American Revolution and any other revolution in the history of the world, and one, the United States of America was based on God. It was a religious quest. It was a desire for religious liberty, for people to worship how, where, or what they may. That was critical. That separated us from every other revolutionaries in a very unique, successful, I might add, way. Other revolutions have not been successful. This was a God-centered, American, uniquely positioned situation. That made all the difference in the world, folks. Make no mistake about that. Anyway, I digress, except to say it is about God, family, and country. Family is the fundamental unit of society, the traditional family with a mother and a father. Fidelity to one another and to their children, that nucleus was the fundamental unit of society ordained by God. A God-ordained family is what I would call it. Now, that doesn't mean that any other families put together my man when circumstances aren't the best. I'm not downing those families, okay? I'm adopted. I come from a family of seven children. All seven of us are adopted. So I get making up unique families when necessary. My father couldn't have children. And so, you know what? My mother and father were so dedicated, they adopted seven children. What a blessing that is and was. So I'm not downing any families that are not, quote, traditional. But we must understand that the family is the core. Without the family, America and society melts down. Look, you can look at families across the country, and society is no stronger than the families that make up that society, right? So it is God, family, and country, folks. Country, because that's the principles that create the proper role of government, a check and balanced base government that divides power. It is a government that is ordained of God, put forth by man, by the consent of the governed, for the protection of the governed, done so in a very unique way to prevent too much power from going to the wrong people. But you know what? It only works for a good, honest, and moral people. The founders warned us of this. They highlighted this. And now as we become an immoral people, what we want to do is blame the very apparatus, the very instruments, the hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, and the codified principles in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. That's getting the blame now. The truth is, we ought to not place blame on the founders or the supreme law of the land or the checks and balances of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We should not tear down the republic. We should stand by the principles that made America good. The people were good, says the Tocqueville, and that's what made America great. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. He continued, highlighting this reality that good didn't refer to, you know what, Sam's a good talker on the radio, or so-and-so's great at making money, or it referred to the people and to their morality, to their understanding that there's something greater than government, greater than man lording over man, that is at the helm of this thing. And that acknowledgement and that direct focus on and willing to obey that being, supreme being, author of liberty, might you call it, that was above government. You know what? They were all willing to acknowledge that. Now, I get it that people were different levels in their religiosity. Is that a word? Yes, it is. In their efforts to obey God or to turn to God or to acknowledge God or to worship. Okay, I get everybody's at different levels. But I also get the founders. Some were very religious and others weren't so religious, but they understood that they needed to defend one's ability to worship how, where, or what they may. In other words, you may not be as religious as I am, but you might defend my ability to be as religious as I am, or vice versa. I might defend your ability to not be as religious as I. It's your choice. But what we are educating folks to understand and what idea we're backing is the idea that there's something above government that's the author of our liberty. And when principles of that entity are obeyed, blessings occur. And when those principles are not obeyed, we reap the whirlwind, folks. Okay, very simple fundamental reality, but hard for modern day folks to understand because they've been indoctrinated and propagandized in the government schools for so long that it's hard to unlearn. It's hard to unwind the, in my opinion, propaganda and the indoctrination that goes on. Boy, do we got a lot of work ahead of us. We turn to government for everything: money, safety, security, salvation. We ought not turn to government for these things, ladies and gentlemen. Government is to be understood as a necessary evil. I think that's how the founders said it, right? All right, I digress, but I wanted to promote God, family, and country. That's what this whole broadcast is about. It's also about the protection of life, liberty, and property, and it's about bringing to you news that networks refuse to use. By the way, yesterday we were doing that with our buddy Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, and RonPaulInstitute.org, and we talked with Lowell about the unwelcome return of the real purveyors of violence. Ron Paul wrote the piece talking about government. You know, the United States government around the world is promoting war. We've become a warlike people, sad to say, but true. And you know what? The real purveyors of violence are usually the military-industrial complex gallivanting around the world, waging wars, toppling governments, what, placing their own dictators in power, bringing to prominence many times evil people. Oh, but it's the lesser of two evils, Sam. I get it, but it's still evil. We also talked about prepare for extreme tyranny in the United States, domestically speaking, the likes of which have never before been seen in America. Gary D. Barnett writes that piece, does a phenomenal job, talks about under the coronavirus and under global warming and everything else, we are giving up our liberties literally wholesale, folks, and it needs to stop. Viral, and then it's what, hashtag Trump's new army. So they're saying now that Donald Trump's not the president, he's to be feared even more so than ever. He's got his quote, Trump's new army is the hashtag. There's a video put out by the liberals, the crazy folks, and they're the craziest and scariest. Caitlin Johnston highlights this video and talks about they're literally telling you that we're domestic terrorists and, man, we've got to be stopped at all costs. Kirstie Alley blasts Katie Couric, appearing on Real Time with Bill Maher. Journalist Katie Couric says Trump supporters should be deprogrammed. Yeah, says their activities are like cult activities. Wow, folks. I didn't know that me praising Donald Trump when he does good and rejecting the ideas when he does bad or not, constitutionally speaking, that I didn't know that was a bad idea. I didn't know that was a cult-like behavior. Now, I get that there's never Trumpers and always Trumpers, and they're extreme on both sides. I get it. I'm one of the tell-the-truth Trumpers guys, right, to the best of my ability. I'm far from perfect. I know a lot of times people would disagree with me, but we should celebrate our right to disagree. You can say, Sam, I love what you have to say. Your ideas are well thought out, but I think you're out in the weeds, buddy. by all means, you can think that. Isn't that one of the great geniuses of America? This ability to say, you know what, I love you, Sam, and I agree with you a lot of times, but a lot of times I don't. And Sam, I'll work with you on the things we agree on and the things we don't agree on. We'll just leave for another day. Or I'll advocate for my beliefs and you advocate for yours, and that's okay too. By the way, Dr. Scott Atlas, who, in my opinion, is one of the most candid truth tellers in modern day when it comes to the corona, the COCO virus. Scott Atlas says, we know the lockdowns don't work. They do not eliminate the virus. We see it all over the world. We have 80% of the people in America wearing masks. We have all these various restrictions on businesses, but you know what? The virus is simply not eliminated by that. It's worse than ever before. Maybe it isn't working. In the Lancet Journal, by the way, July 21st, so we've known this for months, 2020, we read that government actions such as border closures, full lockdowns, and a high rate of COVID-19 testing are not associated with a significant reduction in infections and or mortality. In other words, what we're doing isn't working, folks. They all know it. But they love that control, baby, don't they? Anthony Fauci, for example, says the UK strain could be worse than we ever thought. British officials say the virus new variant may be more deadly and may be a great deal more spreadable than the last one. Yeah, so it spreads faster and it kills more and makes people much sicker. That's coming up after we've locked down for almost a year, folks.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we've become obsessed with this coronavirus. It's locking everybody down, folks. Lockdown extremism, an obsession that works for the insane and the fascists that want to lock us all down, John Rappaport, with that wonderful piece. And it really brings up the next article, Trading for Today, or Trading Today, What May Be Tomorrow. Trading for Today, What May Be Tomorrow. In other words, the idea is we're going to all lock down, especially the elderly. And you know what? You're going to save yourself. Of course, you don't want to die from the COCO. You don't want to get ill. You don't want to get, you know, it'd be horrible. It's so horrible that we're going to lock you down today. But you know what? When it was a week or two, I got it. I understood. I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's give them a chance. Let's see if we can slow this thing down, not overwhelm the hospitals. At first, it sounded logical and good. But now that we're 10-plus months into this bad boy, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's absolutely bogus, the lockdowns. So you take an average elderly person, and let's say they're 70 years old, just for instance. And you lock them down, you isolate them, because golly, you don't want to get them sick, and they might actually die. And you lock them down for, say, a year, 365 days. And they don't really see their grandkids, they don't really see their kids, they're kind of alone. People slide food under the door, or knock and run, got a social distance. They don't get any human touch, they don't get any hugs, they don't get love, they don't get... interaction, social interaction. In fact, they call it social distancing. It's antisocial as all get out. Nevertheless, it all happened. And then now they're 71 years old, so they literally lost a year of their life. Not entirely, but, you know, and it goes on for maybe two or three more years, whatever the case may be. And then now they're 73 or 4, and now they've lost a lot of their traveling years. They lost a lot of their retirement ability to volunteer and participate in society. They've traded today for what could have been tomorrow. Now, they wake up, and now the cocoa's lifted at some point in the distant, who knows when, future. There now, it all depends on what you do. If you take the vaccination, and or if you this or that, or we'll make up the rules, and the changing target will happen along the way. Of course, you won't remember much. You're an American, and you're just coddled with entertainment and such, so you probably won't realize we keep changing the target over and over and over and over again. But nevertheless... and now you've lost these, say, two, three, four, whatever year, and you'll never get them back. And now your health isn't maybe good enough to go do what you wanted to do, and you've lost those years to go see the grandkids in California or Florida or wherever they are, and to go and see the, I don't know, maybe you go to Minnesota and see the Spam Museum, or who knows what you go do, right? Whatever's been your lifelong dream, whatever's been on your bucket list you wanted to go do, but oh, no, the cocoa hit, and, bro, you can't get that done anymore. You might kill everybody in the process. You wouldn't want to do that. You'd be a domestic terrorist if you walked around without a mask, or even if you had a mask and you couldn't breathe. And, well, we better lock you down, shut you out. And what have we done, folks? What have we done? And how long are we going to keep doing this? All right, Dr. Scott Bradley was our guest yesterday, too. To Preserve the Nation, his incredible collegiate series and books. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website, weekly webinars, Q&As, and more. An incredible constitutional mind, Dr. Scott Bradley. He joins us on Mondays and Fridays. A few exceptions. All right, major corporations have thrived as small businesses have absolutely melted down and crumbled under the weight of, quote, pandemic restrictions between January 1st, 2020, and December 31st, 2020, approximately 30% of the U.S. small businesses have absolutely failed and closed. Not because they couldn't make it, but because government decided to lock them down, shut them down, deny them the ability to make money to the point where they can't even survive, so they're gone. 30%. In fact, it's a 31% drop in revenue for the small business as well. So now not only are 30% of them gone in one single year, but many of them are still teetering, ready to melt down. While total small business revenue decreased by 31%, that's according to the Economic Tracker. I guess between April and September, a shorter window, but a good viewpoint, 45 out of 50. Most valuable public corporations profited. And you got to start to say this lockdown is not by accident. Okay, when we know what's happening to society, to the economy, to business, to they're doing this intentionally, folks, because if you're a small business owner, you are to some degree much more free. You don't work for the man. You don't work for the boss. You own, you contribute, you create, you etc. They want to destroy that because therefore they can destroy America. If everybody works for a big, massive corporation, all the big, massive corporation needs to do is create dictates and you better obey. So government is literally playing games with fascism like you've never seen before. What government's doing is saying, we're not telling you, that you got to wear a mask. Oh, no, we're not hostile like that. We obey the law. And we're not going to tell you that you got to wear a mask. Now, on the federal lands, we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you that. We're just being consistent due to the, quote, medical experts that are guiding us on this thing. But look, it's business. It's business. And then you take 10 big businesses that control the whole world almost and say, they're just going to simply demand you wear masks. And then behind the scenes, you find out those big businesses get big money from government and they're really in bed together to create a narrative, an agenda. What a tale to tell, huh? And then they gather to protect the Capitol and hundreds of National Guard members in Washington, D.C. They say now tested positive for the COCO. Oh, boy, better lock it. The great unwashed down harder, right? Yeah. Better lock everybody down even harder. I mean, it's just a shame. More than 50 wineries and restaurants in Nampa and Sonoma County, California, have sued Governor Gavin Newsom, claiming that their constitutional rights have been violated by his lockdown on dining. Amen to that reality check. Businesses all across the country are starting to push back because it's either push back or go extinct, right? It's either push back or simply fight the man, the government, whatever, right? By the way, a Swedish manufacturer out of France has been accused of treating their employees like dogs. After the company asked its worker to wear a social distancing device when you get within 6 feet of somebody for any length of time, then, of course, it beeps and flashes lights, and I'm sure it'll transmit back to mothership or boss or whoever. You know what? This guy's a rogue or this gal's a rogue agent, man. They keep getting near people and stuff that don't respect the social distancing. They probably better leave their job. We probably better fill it up with somebody that could be, that'll honor the requirements of the job, don't you know? See, that kind of stuff is happening everywhere, folks. Meghan McCain now believes that the Joe Biden administration could possibly find a cure for cancer in the next 4 years. She literally talks about Beau Biden and how he died of cancer and how Joe's so sad about Beau and that Joe is on a quest to solve cancer forever as a result, and he'll be likely successful, she believes. I don't believe that for 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. There's big, I mean, I'm telling you, if you've ever seen dollar signs, these are the biggest, longest trail of dollar signs you've ever seen in your life when it comes to the funding of cancer cures that never happen, huh? They've been at it for decades. We've spent trillions of dollars. And they've really conceded for the most part. They can't solve it. They can't cure it. There's no cure, and there's not one in sight. But by golly, they can sure make your life better and extend your life for a year or two, and by golly, they can make you comfortable and feel well for trillions of dollars, can't they? And you think they're going to give up those trillions of dollars and all of a sudden go, by golly, we cured cancer. No need for the money anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Close your wallets. Go home. It's a victory day. See, I don't see it. Do you? Not even maybe. All right, the average price of United States gasoline, regular gasoline, is up 10 cents a gallon to $2.45 a gallon. Yeah, I guess in San Francisco it's the highest. And in Houston, Texas right now, it's the lowest. So there you have that spread in America. But don't worry, it's a lot less expensive than it was a year ago. So that's good news that we're all grateful for sure. All right, there's a lot going on in the world that you need to know about, ladies and gentlemen. And we certainly don't mean to be negative on this broadcast. We do trust in God. We do believe in families. And we do believe we are in the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is all about God, family, and country. And we don't mean to be negative, but you know what? When we certainly take a hard turn to the, I don't even want to say right or left. When we take a hard turn to the socialism, to the communism, to the godless government edicts that we reject, then it's very hard for us not to complain, for us not to speak out and say, oh my goodness, what are we doing? What have we done? Where are we going? But there are answers. All right. But there's a couple of key people that are in place that shock me. Yeah, they continue in the Trump administration and the Biden administration. I want to talk about those people. Because the more things change, I guess the more they, what, stay the same? Is that what they say? Liberty Roundtable Live.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Democrats presented an article of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate on Monday night. A total of 10 House Republicans joined in with Democrats to vote in favor of impeachment. And impeachment is defined as to remove from power. More on yesterday's horrific killing in Indianapolis, Indiana. A teenager whose dad had just yelled at him for leaving the house without permission turned a gun on his family, killing five relatives. The alleged killer, who has not been named by authorities because of his age, was arrested Monday after cops tracked him down to the suburb of Plainfield, Indiana. His younger brother lived to tell authorities what happened. The Senate voted 84-15 to confirm Janet Yellen as the 78th Treasury Secretary on Monday. Yellen is the first woman to serve as Treasury Secretary. Previously, she was on the Federal Reserve Board from 2014 to 2018. Born in Brooklyn, New York, Secretary Yellen is estimated to be worth $16 million. This is USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The START treaty with Russia may need some adjustments, to be fair. USA Radio News' Dan Araki has more.
In one of his administration's first foreign policy positions, President Biden indicated last week that he wanted to extend the new START treaty. Pentagon officials later said that the country was much safer with the nuclear arms reduction treaty in place. But some say that extending the treaty without any concessions from Russia would be a bad deal. Senator Tom Cotton believes that an extension without conditions is exactly what Vladimir Putin wants. The Arkansas Republican tells Fox News that the treaty in its current form favors the Russians.
The number one priority for Vladimir Putin was an unconditional extension of the new START treaty because that treaty favors Russia. It does not cover the vast arsenal of tactical nuclear weapons that Russia has or some of its novel delivery systems like undersea delivery systems or nuclear-powered cruise missiles and hypersonic glide vehicles. That's why Vladimir Putin wanted it extended without condition.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So it's very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, interesting indeed to watch who survives the transition from the Donald to the Joe. All right, it's very interesting to see. See, they can adjust 90% of their administrations and put in their favorite people, the people that are left-leaning or right-leaning or whatever, you know, promotes this Hegelian dialectic of the left-right paradigm that's dishonest and you know, red, blue, whatever divide line, they can put their guys in power that make you believe that, oh man, there's been a massive change there now. But if they keep a couple of key people in positions, it doesn't matter much what the faces look like when it comes to the masses in government, folks. So Biden to keep Ray as FBI director. Well, let me see. Trump put this guy in and then Biden's going to keep him, huh? Well, remember the FBI and the IRS? They pretty much domestically ratchet the people right on down, buddy. You get anything sideways in Obama as he joked back in, I can't remember what it was, 2008, 9, 10 range, he joked and said, I'll sick the IRS on you. Well, they thought it was a joke at the university, but it was the truth. don't you know, both sides of the aisle, both administrations, whether it be, quote, conservative or liberal or left, right, or whatever deception they portray, they're all the same. They'll stick the IRS on you. The swamp loves the IRS, baby. And the FBI is the same. You know what? If you stand up for liberty in America, then the FBI will lie and cheat and steal and pillage and plunder and, you know what? Perjure themselves and everything else, lie and cheat and to convict you. And they've done it to rancher families across this country for decades, ladies and gentlemen. They have. If you don't believe me, check out the Wayne Haig family story. If you don't believe me, check out the Ammon Bundy situation. Look, the FBI literally lied, said they weren't pointing guns at innocent, unarmed people, but they lied and they had snipers and they were. They got caught lying. They said that they thought that Ammon Bundy was a threat, but they knew that he was not and had documents that he was not. They just lied. They just perjured themselves. They withheld exculpatory evidence. So they withheld evidence, and they got caught doing all that, thank heavens, to a whistleblower, and I would say due to God Almighty protecting the Bundys and others. And you know, you had the Bundy Ranch standoff in 14, which they say that the, quote, militia or the American people that came to the aid of the Bundys were the bad guys. But you know what? I believe we had a peaceful situation where nobody died because the good guys, Americans, came to the rescue of their fellow Americans. And government was required to stand down in the public eye. Thank heavens there was enough media there. The government was required to stand down in the public eye where nobody got hurt. Then round two, the only people that got killed were when the government killed Lavoie Finicum. Unnecessarily so, I might add. We'll probably never get to the bottom of that story. They killed Vicky Weaver, shot her in cold blood. She had a baby in her arms. And they killed her and she was unarmed. This is the government, mind you, in all these cases. Then Ammon Bundy, not only does the judge say we're going to dismiss all of this because the government lied and FBI, you know, was guilty of all these crimes. The judge was incensed and dismissed it, but nobody at the FBI got in big trouble. All right. In fact, in Oregon, when Marcus Mumford, the attorney, was able to get Ammon Bundy and those guys free because the jury saw it the way we do, which is, you know what, the government's the only one committing crimes here. Then the government went ballistic and tased the attorney right in the middle of court. They were so angry. Payback is a bleep, is what they say, right? Well, there you have it. So when you leave, when Biden keeps Ray as FBI director, that's scary as all get out, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. Ready for the next keep? Senate now confirms Janet Yellen as Secretary of the Treasury. So now you got this lady that was like a Federal Reserve person, now going to the Treasury. And now what are they going to do? Make a bunch of female empowerment coins? Debauch the currency even further? Janet Yellen should be standing up for constitutional currency and honest money. But again, when you put these Federal Reserve folks, fake money, fiat people in power, why did she hang out with the Donald and now she's hanging out with Joe? Because the more things change, the more they stay the same. Is that how it goes? I think so, baby. All right, so you got Janet Yellen. You got Ray. Both staying, folks, really. Guess who's next? You got it, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I don't know if you know, but Anthony Fauci was among the highest paid federal officials in 2019. Did you know that? Yeah, I guess they don't have more updated numbers for 2020 yet. But they say it even surpasses the $400,000 salary, $400,000 salary earned by President Donald Trump. Now, you know, by the way, that President Trump gave his salary away every quarter, right? So it's a little bit disingenuous to say that he got paid a lot more than President Trump got. But, you know, it's the truth. Dollar-wise, it's just not exactly the truth, because when you don't mention that Trump gave up his salary every quarter, that really says something about the man in a positive way, in my opinion. Is Biden going to give his salary away like Trump did? We shall see, huh? And by the way, it turns out that Anthony Fauci makes $417,608 a year. You heard me. Dr. Anthony Fauci makes $417,608 a year. That placed him solidly among the top earners out of, listen carefully to this, out of some 4 million federal employees. And it makes Fauci the highest paid doctor on the government's payroll. That's according to data reported by Forbes magazine. Wow. So Anthony Fauci makes $417,000+ a year, the highest paid doctor on government payrolls at the federal level. More than a president, imagine that. But here's the point. Fauci, not only does he make a bunch of cash, but why is he so beloved in the Trump administration, who everybody thought Donald would fire him? No. Donald keeps him, and so does Joe. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you keep Ray as FBI director, Yellen as Secretary of the Treasury, Fauci as the, quote, top, what is he? The Cocoa Doctor? Cocoa Fauci? Okay. When you keep those three people in place, and I'm sure there's a dime and a dozen for another group of people that he's also that have weathered the transition. But I look at that kind of thing and I go, wow, how many of these swamp monsters were really working for Joe, even though they were on Donald's payroll at the time, huh? And how much do you expect to change when they got still the same control of the Treasury, the same control of the FBI, and the same control of what? Disease and prevention, and I don't know what you call Anthony's position. You know, because the CDC, the FDA, the, right, all kind of march to the beat of that drum, don't they? Or do they not? So I look at that and I go, wow, there's a lot changing, but the more it changes, the more it stays the same, huh? Anyway, we'll keep an eye on who else is staying around. Which other swamp monsters make the transition between Joe and, or Don and Joe, right? Wow. All right, Mr. Joe Biden overturns transgender troop ban. Not enough, you know, but in 2016, the Pentagon, under Barack Obama at the time, right? I guess repealed a longstanding policy. There was a policy that prohibited transgender troops from serving openly. It doesn't stop them from serving, but it prevented them from serving openly in the military. It also allowed them, so here's the deal. I guess that there was a ban on this for a long time. And then under Barack Obama, they got rid of the ban. And then under the Donald Trump, they put the ban back. And now under Joe Biden, Biden overturns transgender ban. Okay, so there was a longstanding policy that we don't give these things out. It prohibited transgender troops from serving openly in the military. And, all right. So anyway, the bottom line is now the troops can openly promote their transgenderism in the military. They can receive counseling. They can receive medical treatment, including sex reassignment surgeries. So there you have it. The seesaw goes back and forth. As my buddy Jordan, well-known singer Jordan Page, says, the pendulum swings, huh? I heard that.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so while Joe Biden is overturning the ban by President Trump, Biden overturns transgender troop ban. Wow, this is scary. This ban is a sad tale. Well, let me say that over. The overturning of the ban is a problem. All right? I don't know what to say about this. Now, should troops be allowed? Let me just, I'm hesitating on this to try to figure out how to best handle this. Should troops be allowed to serve in the military if they're transgender? I don't think that we should discriminate if they're transgender. But the problem goes to the very core of male and female created he them. All right, and I don't think we should be mean to somebody who changes their sex or believes they're of a different sex. I don't think we should be mean to them and unkind by any means. I think we should be kind. I think we should acknowledge that they're God's children. But I don't think we have to embrace that lifestyle. Okay? I think that it's very obvious when someone's born a male or female, in most cases. And when it's not very obvious, they do their best to, you know what, make decisions about someone's gender. But if you can change your gender, can you change your color? Well, somehow they've said you can change your gender, but by golly, don't you dare pretend you're black or whatever. Don't you dare be a black wannabe. Okay, the problem becomes very, very socially manipulative and deep for discussion. But I don't think we should be mean to or unkind to anybody. But here's the discussion, in my opinion. Openly serving in the military. All right? That's the real in my discussion. So the Trump or the transgender troop ban prohibited transgender troops from serving openly in the military. It didn't prevent them from serving, right? That's the kind of core point that you got to understand here. Okay? That's the difference, in my opinion. The open versus not. Okay, so we're not going to determine if you're gay or not, or if you're transgender or not, but what we don't want you to do is promote that. Okay, you would say, well, Sam, wait a minute, that's how they're born, that's who they are. I understand, and I don't disagree. That may be who they are. They may be born with tendencies towards those things. I'm not here to scientifically break it down. But I am here to tell you about God's law, which is male and female created he them. And to me, God's law trumps, pardon the pun, government edicts, mandates. All right? And so I'm not here to change God's law. I'm just here to acknowledge it and embrace it to the best of my ability. All right? But this is the rub. So they can serve the military. They just openly can't promote this agenda. All right? And the problem becomes, how secret does it have to be and all this kind of stuff? But Biden overturns transgender troop ban. And it prohibited Trump's troops from serving openly. But now they're going to not only promote the, serving openly of transgender people, gay, lesbian, bisexual, whatever else. But it promotes it. It forces the taxpayers to pay for, quote, sex reassignment surgeries. Right, that's the problem with this whole thing. And that's why I'm speaking out about it. I don't want to be unkind to anybody. All right, but I also don't want to be the one to ignore this. See, Americans ought to sue the government over this. Say, you know what? You have no business spending our tax dollars on this gender bender, manipulative promotion of this lifestyle agenda here. We're not going to fund these surgeries. We're not going to discriminate and say that you can't be in the military, but you can't openly promote this. You can't just wear this on your sleeve. You can't make this the center of the discussion. You're there to serve, right? Now, pretty soon, if you're not careful, what they're going to say is if you're heterosexual, if you have a, if you're a man and you have a wife or a woman and you have a husband, you're going to be the ones discriminated against. Because by golly, so they don't want just equality in the discussion. They want supremacy in the discussion. And you can say I'm wrong, but there it is. And that's kind of the problem, is that we're forced to pay for these lifestyles that are, what do you want to say, man-made? They're not God-ordained. They're man-inserted. Many of them are very destructive to the mental stability of individuals. Many of them are gender mutilation. Right? Many of them are gender mutilation. And whether the Muslims do it so that a woman doesn't get too frisky, or whatever word you want to use, so they do that, that's their justification. Keep a woman down and in her place, which I reject. All the way to, well, whether we do it for, because you believe that you're, you identify with a different sex than you are, or your, you know, your birth sex versus your selected sex, or whatever you want to call it, do not match. So therefore, we're going to provide surgery to bring them into harmony with one another and everything else. Okay, where do you go from here? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I personally draw the line. I'm for surgery. If you're born and it's very hard to tell physically whether you're a male or female and you have some elements of both due to circumstances beyond our control, you know, I'm for surgery to try to clarify or to try to make life normal as possible. Okay, there's a fine line there. But if you're doing this to mutilate someone or change what they were at birth, or if you do this to try to control people like they do in the Muslim culture, where they literally have genital mutilation for women, etc., to keep them down or keep them in their place or make sure that they don't get whatever. And okay, this stuff, all these things, in my opinion, cross the line. And as our founders said, you got a wonderful country, a republic, if you can keep it. They were talking about the morality of the people. Okay, but while we're debating transgender with Joe, sad to say, a military arm of the intelligence community, I don't know if you know this, but they currently purchase, listen to this, commercially available databases containing location data from smartphone apps. And they literally search it for Americans' past movements without warrants. That's according to an unclassified memo obtained by the New York Times, ladies and gentlemen. A military arm of the intelligence community buys commercially available databases containing location data from smartphones and smartphone apps. And then they search that data for Americans' past movements without a warrant. See, somebody's head ought to roll and somebody ought to go to jail. This happened during the Trump administration for the last 2.5 years, they say. Well, is Joe going to go ahead and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law for their illegal activity? Right? Without a warrant. Now, the government says we're allowed to do this because we're not doing it directly. We're just buying a commercially available database that anybody could buy. All I can tell you is criminal activity can be dressed up and dolled up and look very pretty. But it's criminal indeed, and we need to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. The American people should absolutely come unglued over this. And I don't want you people then saying Sam's advocating violence. Don't lie. I'm just telling the American people ought to be very upset by this. Should they riot in the streets? Should they destroy property? Should they get violent? Absolutely, unequivocally not. No, not. How many times do I got to say it before these ne'er-do-wells who want to pervert my words get it? I reject the violence, but we can demand accountability at this government agency. And we can demand that our congressmen and our senators rein in these people by reducing funding or jettisoning funding altogether. And if those who we elect don't do that, I submit to you that we need to elect somebody who will, politely, peacefully, without fraud, right? But man, this military arm of the intelligence community buying this database and then searching it and then claiming that they've got around the quote requirement of you got to have a warrant and they don't have one. See, this is just dishonest. We need to create honesty, folks. All right, looks like Dominion Now not only sues Sidney Powell, but Dominion Now is suing Rudy Giuliani for $1.3 billion alleging defamation. Yeah, they say, how dare you say that we've manipulated the elections? They claim it's not true. Where do we go from here is the question, huh? What a sad tale to tell. So now Sidney Powell and Giuliani both getting sued. Where this will go, I don't know. Giuliani talks big, but when it comes to real court proceedings, the guy melts down over and over and over and over, at least defending President Trump. No credit to his name, I'll tell you that right now. I believe Giuliani's a swamp monster. I got that view from the 9/11 fiascos where he literally covered all that up and didn't get to the bottom of it. Acted like he was a hero for saving and protecting everybody related there, too. That wasn't honest. Let's get the truth on 9/11, shall we? President Trump missed a declassification haven to defend himself and to lay out the truth of the deep swamp, but Trump missed it. Now Giuliani's trying to defend himself. Where that'll go, nobody knows, but around and around, they're trying to disbar Giuliani. They're trying to have Dominion sue him. But Giuliani is pretty bold in his statements, but it's kind of like Sidney Powell releasing the Kraken. I don't think any Kraken got released because it didn't get to the people, I'll tell you that, right? I don't see that it got to the people. Nevertheless, Giuliani says, hey, this will give me the chance to bring forward my lawsuits, so bring it on. The big dollars, you know, the $1.3 billion or whatever the number is just designed to scare people, he says. Don't be intimidated. This will give me the chance to get to the bottom of it. Well, I appreciate his bold statement, right? And I pray that he's right. But I don't have any confidence in Giuliani, do you? Now he's all about saving his own skin because he's on the, well, what is he on? Tender hooks is the way they say it. All right, I believe there was election fraud. I believe there was foreign interference. All right. But they're not going to get to the bottom of this. Look, all the investigations that the Democrats wanted to wind up and carry out, hey, they weren't successful because there wasn't pay dirt, but they lasted for a long time and they were funded. All the conservative getting to the bottom of things, dead. Look how beat up General Flynn got. Now, I know they got him off, but all they did was save his own skin. They didn't get to the bottom of the scandal that prosecuted him in the first place. All right. Now, Sidney Powell is doing a good job on the heels of Giuliani. Today, we are proud to announce the formation of the Restore the Republic PAC, PAC, which will be dedicated to supporting candidates who will fight vigorously for our constitutional rights, our freedom of speech, and our sacred right to free and fair elections. For truth and the rule of law, will strenuously oppose any candidate who discards the Constitution for his own short term or political gain, regardless of party. 80 million people were just disenfranchised. There you have it. Wow. Mike Lindell and Joe Flynn at RestoreTheRepublicPAC.com. Website coming soon. Restore the Republic PAC founder Sidney Powell Wonderful news. I pray for him, I'll tell you that.